We've been learning for the past 3 weeks about writing. So he wants the hamadashim. So today we're going to learn about erasing. Okay. So you'll say, well, where does erasing come up? So I have with me Oreos, which I believe that is the generous enough to bring. Oreos. I have a Folgers coffee bag packet. Okay. And a thing of Splenda. And a oh-so-healthy Klein's Natural. Anybody recognize this? From my nifty Salachmanos bag. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. I also have a book. Right? What? No, this is mine. I don't need this book. Okay. And I also have a little cake, because this was relevant also. And I specifically had them put on writing on it. Okay. So this is going to be the classic issue. Y-I-O-P. They were supposed to write Baby Drash also, but they might have ran out of room on the brownie. and you'll ask me, what's the difference? Imagine this is a big cake, yeah. And this is a cookie. Okay? Oh, okay. And it says, Happy Purim on the cookie. Okay? And we're going to see, hopefully, that there's a difference between, there's definitely a difference between the cake and the cookie, but we're going to learn about these halachos specifically so we can understand what are the parameters of erasing on Shabbos. And what does all this stuff have to do with one another? Anybody tell me, why would they erase? What was the purpose of erasing in the Mishkan? When did they erase? How does erasing one of the 39 malachos of Shabbos?
They marked down what the dimensions were and then they erased.
Very good, very good. Right, it's actually very interesting because there is in the Shorah a tradition about what the malachos are. So as we're going to see, we're learning the Gemara that what they would do is, when did they write? Remember, we learned when would they write?
Yeah, to mark one.
Mark which goes which. But yeah. If you made a mistake, you have to erase it, which is a little unusual because how could you say that erasing is part of the construction of the building if that wasn't a necessary element? Nevertheless, the rabbis have a tradition that erasing is considered one of the 39 malachos of Shabbos. So this is a pretty short one, as we're going to see. Okay. So Gemara says on page 1. Tana Rabban, this is Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. So remember, how many letters do you need in order to be chayev in writing?
Two
letters. So how many letters do you need in order to erase?
One.
Less than
one.
We'll see. Tana Rabban, Katav Osh Echas. If you write one letter, Gedola, one big letter, V'yesh Bim Koma, Lichtov Shtayim, and you have in its place enough space to write two. Mm-hmm. If I write a very big A for Amir, Pater, I'm exempt. Meaning Pater means, remember in the Gemara it says Pater, that means Pater Aval Asher. You're not Chayav, it's not Chayav Shkila, it's not a Dior Raisa, you're still not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to write one letter. But, Machak Osh Gedola, if you erased a big letter, the Yesh Bim Koma Lichtov Shtayim, and there's enough room there to write two whole letters, chayav. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how many letters do you need to erase in order to be chayav? One letter. As long as there's room for two letters, as any erasure is considered is chayav. Amar Rabbi Nachman Bar Yossi, v'zeh chomer b'mochek mi b'kotev. In a way, erasing is more stringent, more strict than writing. Why? Because writing, is only if you write two letters, you're chayav b'araisa. But erasing, even if you only erase one letter, you're a chayav. So what are examples of erasing? Can somebody give me examples, theoretically, of when you might erase on Shabbos? Like real-world examples.
When you break something, no? I mean, like this.
Oh, so is that erasing? When I open my Splenda packet, right? So this is a really tricky one. Let's assume for a minute, I'm not posturing, but let's assume when it's permitted to open a Splenda packet on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a single-use thing. You're going to throw it away right away. Okay, I'm here. Open this without breaking the letters.
Kind of hard.
What?
Kind of.
Ah, so he found the right side already. Right. But it's immediately you have to be sensitive about it. Did you get it?
No.
You didn't even open it. Okay, right. It's not so easy. So you'll say to yourself, well, what's the difference? I'm breaking those letters. I'm not erasing them. So as we're going to see in the Mishnah Berurah, no, that's a malacha of erasing is destroying any letter. You're not permitted to destroy a letter on Shabbos. Now, way back when, in the times of the Talmud, this was, not a big deal, right? Because they didn't have printed items or anything like that. But here, in today's day and age, especially our packaging, everything has letters all over it. This is something that people are really not very aware of. There's letters all over everything. There's writing all over everything. And you can usually get to where you want to go. You can usually open it, but you have to be careful. You really do, as we're going to see.
Yeah, you're one use. Huh?
Mm. All right. I'm not dividing the word.
Why?
You know, not just not a letter, but a word. So yeah.
It's interesting. In the postgame that I looked at seemed to say that it's not a problem of separating a word, only one individual letter. But separating letters are not as much of a problem. Even though, remember, we said putting letters together would be for words. But remember, erasing is if you erase one letter. Writing is where you're forming words. And when you take letters of words apart, they didn't feel that that was considered a matter of erasing. Okay, so it's not a matter of separating words, as we're going to see. Okay, let's look at the Rambam. Says the Rambam. This is source number two. The Rambam again. It's always good to see. It's so interesting how sometimes there's so little Gemara on a topic, and then such extensive material. So if you write one letter, you're chayim. Hamochek ksav. Oh, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Let's look for just a second at Rashi on the Gemara. See the Rashi on the side. Machak os achas chayim, says Rashi. She'ein melachas mechika chashuva. Ella al menas lichtov. Okay? What makes erasing significant? The thing that makes it significant is the erasing in order to write. Because that's what they had to do in the Mishkan. In order to be chayev, you had to erase in order to write. Okay? Bahare yesh makom misei ozio. So as soon as you erase in order to write two letters, that's what makes you chayev. Okay? Now, but that's only midoraisa. What would be forbidden midorabanan? What kind of erasure would be forbidden midorabanan rabbinically? What kind of erasure? Any erasing whatsoever. Okay. So now let's go look at the Rambam. Okay? So remember, it's erasing that's really for constructive purposes. But erasing for destructive purposes is only going to be also midorabanan and not midoraisa. What would be erasing for destructive purposes? Carrying this thing is erasing for destructive purposes. It's a durabana and it's not a durarisa. Okay? As we'll soon see, and there are other things you have to be aware of as well. Next, in the Rambam. Hakoshev stay osios, if you write two letters, chayav. Hamochek ksav al menash lichto binkom hamachak stay osios. If I erase writing in order to write again, then chayav. What's an example where you would erase in order to rewrite? I mean, in the real world.
You misspell.
What? Chalkboard. Right. Or let's say you're correcting a Torah. So very often you correct a Torah, you have to scratch out a letter and then rewrite another letter. Or another example wouldn't be erasing, but which counts as erasing. You take white out. Right? You ever take your white out and you're going to cover over your letters. Or if you've got a cake, right, and you realize that I don't know. Happy birthday, Amir. It's not Amir's birthday anymore, and you need to, smudge it over, right? In order, because it's really Sandra's birthday now. Oh, Sandra, happy birthday. It wasn't Amir's birthday.
He actually lift off the letters.
What?
He lift off the letters because they hired him.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about it. Normally, sometimes you can take some more icing and just ice it right over. No problem.
What's happening if you erase part of a letter, like, for example, in a hay? If you erase the small,
you want to know your
part, it's going to be like a race.
Stung you to death, or no? It depends how much space, and are you doing it for constructive purposes? I would say it's definitely also. You're not allowed to do it. But the question is, yeah.
So if it's that you can't cut a letter, mm-hmm. then you could cut theoretically then cut the cake around the letter, because mm-hmm. that's where you couldn't cut the word.
Right. What can I see? Right, very good. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but yeah, that's what we're going to discuss today. Okay? Now, I give you this sheet. You're going to be our first victim. How are you going to do with the Oreo? Here, you're going to pass the Oreo to Steve? You're flacious. Anybody milk it?
No.
Nobody here milk it? Okay, pass Cheryl the Oreo. Right? What?
I don't want to eat it.
You don't want to eat it. How are you going to eat this Oreo without breaking an individual letter?
You open it up and eat it.
You open it up and you just scoop out the inside. Did she get Oreos? No.
Am I allowed to use like a knife and a fork and
anyway.
Have you ever seen anybody eat Oreos with a knife and a fork on Shabbos? I didn't say that.
Oreos are both your feet right here.
And eat around it. Right, eat around it. Right.
Eat around it and then put what's left in your mouth.
Oh.
Can't you just eat the whole thing
in one?
You can take a bite, can't you?
Okay, I'm raising the issue.
You can bite it.
I like to scare you before I tell you. Yeah, yes, you can bite it. Yeah, you're allowed to bite it.
There's nothing wrong with why
no.
Can't you bite it?
You could just eat it. You could just eat it. I'm trying to scare you. So yeah, but what I'm trying to show you, what I'm distinguishing is something that's derech achila in the way of eating, or if it's not derech achila. So an Oreo is so small, or even shake. Ooh, I need something in my office. There's a, Evan, go to my office on my desk. There's a lollipop from Nisa that you can't miss. Okay? You know what I'm talking about?
Which one of your kids is
it? No, it's up me. Alright. You know who wants the Oreo? Okay, I'll be there. You're going to get your Oreos back. I thought I was going to be generous here. Okay? What? Yeah. Oh, you just want to eat the Oreo. Okay. So did you find it? What?
Worse.
Which one's my office? Right. Okay. Okay. So again, so let's just read on. What? The one that says Rabbi spoke around. Kashav Osh Achas. Let's say you write one letter. Behishlim Ba Es HaSefer. You finish a book. Chayev. We already talked about writing the last 2 weeks. Hakoshid Amanas Lakal Kelhaor Chayev. If you're writing to destroy your Chayev. She'ein Chiyuvah Al Makom Haktav Ela Al Haktav. Because it's not the place where you're writing on, but it's the writing itself. Did you find it? Okay. I'm going to show you this lollipop. Oh, wow. Oh,
let's see that.
Where is this? This is Leslie Zwick's new business, right? So just like you're not allowed to erase a word, you're also not allowed to erase a picture. I don't know about what.
Save the phone number for the website.
Save the phone number?
Into there.
Oh, the phone number. 248-443-831. But they don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. It's hard to describe this. Right? But,
what? Indescribable.
It's indescribable. I don't know about licking this on Yom Tov. I don't know, on Shabbos. I don't know. Something about it tells me. That's like a little much. You know what I mean? It's one thing to eat the words Oreo. It's another thing to eat the picture of yourself. You know, I don't know. Because again, you don't think so, Mark, do you?
Of the ink,
can
you give it to one of your kids?
For them to eat.
Think about it.
Oh, yeah, true.
Malicious.
What?
Malicious.
All right, there are other thoughts that came to mind, but I can't say them because I'm a rabbi. Okay.
The thoughts that I
have.
I was being serious.
What? Can you give it to your kids because
it's
too bad of
ink? Because if the doctor can't even give his parent a shot, your kids can
eat your picture. I think you know. Okay. The other habits, it happens a lot, by the way. This is a new business. If you want a cake, you can order a cake.
Yeah,
literally,
a picture, yeah.
A picture on it.
Yeah.
I don't know something about it. There's a big difference between, I think, eating words like small words or a whole picture. You're really disassembling a picture. I don't know. I have to ask. You have to write it down. I can remember it on my own. Okay. We're in the middle of the Rambam. Aval, 4 lines from the bottom. Hamochek al menas lekalkia. Let's say I'm erasing to destroy, then pater. It's not allowed, but it's pater. Nusla diyo al gabe sefer umachak ota. This is where it gets a little important. Let's say ink fell on a book. Right? Or give me another example of stuff that falls on a book.
Water.
Not water. Water doesn't make a stain.
How about
food? Hot cocoa. Coffee. Right? I mean, let's say it could stain. Or machakota, and you erase it. Or nafla shava, if you have wax, algabe pintas. You have, what's that? You have wax on a pintas, on a notebook. Umachak ota, and you erased it. In yesh bim komake de lichtov ste otiot. If there's enough to write 2 letters worth in that space, chayav.
But what?
Chayav means
two
what?
Letters.
You're all right, that's 2 small letters. Enough. It's not a speck, but it's chayav.
Taking a stain out of clothing.
Oh, that's different. That you're not allowed to do because of malaging, of washing. You're not allowed to take a stain out of clothing on Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about on a book.
Why?
So I'm reading my book, right? I don't think coffee would be a good example. What?
It's hypocrite. That's blood in the book.
You have paper cup?
Right?
And you got blood? Again, that would be the same thing. You're not allowed to erase. Blood is a staining thing. You're not allowed to erase it. I mean, I hope you didn't hurt yourself. So I'm going to pour coffee on my sheet, right? So now, I don't know about this one. This is not a good example, and I also don't have something to wipe it up with. Right? But if I wanted to, I don't know. But let's say, for example, anybody have a,
napkin?
No, not the napkin. Anybody eating a cookie or a chocolate chip? Give me the chocolate chip. Good, perfect, even better. Okay, fine. This gets squashed into my book.
Looks like a piece of apple out of the Hummertush.
Right. No, it's chocolate.
Oh, okay.
It's also kind of dry. But let's say it got squashed into my book. Okay, and then the next time I open my book, I've got a... Here we go. I have a chocolate blot on my book. Can I write two letters on that spot?
Mm-hmm.
In theory? Right? So the Rambam says... And if I on Shabbos I want to scrape it out, and there are letters there, then you're chayav, right? In order to write two letters, if I want to scrape out the ink in order to write two letters, you're chayav. You know, you have to be careful about that. That happens sometimes.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Sorry. If this happens,
your Haggadah. Excellent example. Excellent example.
With the boring.
What?
This is also for Yom Tov.
Yeah, this is for Yom Tov too.
What happens if it, drips onto letters?
Yeah.
So
even worse.
It's going to be.
Right, because the letter, then you're erasing it for a constructive purpose. Let's say it dripped a chocolate on the letters. So now what I want to do, I want to get off. Why?
Because
to read it. That's constructive erasing.
Okay.
Every other time is a derabanan, is destructive. But here we're talking about where it's constructive. It's very rare to have constructive erasing. Mm-hmm. Another constructive erasing is if Amir owes me $100. And I don't want him to owe me, so I erase. You know, Amir does not owe me $100 anymore. That's constructive erasing. This is also one of those rare examples of constructive erasing. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch and see the halacha lemaisa, real halacha. Okay, hamochek dio she'al haklaf. This is the Shulchan Aruch. One who erases ink on the parchment, or in our example, okay, paper. O sha'ava she'al hapinkas, or wax. Had then, if they wanted to sign something, to seal it, how would they seal it?
Mm.
With wax, with a wax seal. So they would often drip wax on some other place. It happened quite a bit. Or, for example, they would read by a candle. It was probably very common to have wax drippings all over the place. Nowadays we don't have that, but we just have chocolate stains. In yesh bimkomo, kidei lichtov shtei otiyot. If there's enough room to write two letters, chayav. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch writes that, and you just have to be aware of that. Haggadah is an excellent example. It happens quite a bit. What else does it happen very often? It happens in dentures. You know, like you want to open the denture, and it depends where it's stuck, as we're going to see. To open it, you might have heard this, that there's a thing you're not allowed to open a denture that's stuck together.
Yeah.
So that's not true. You're only allowed to not open it if it's stuck on the letters, because of this problem.
Oh.
You know, if you have kids, very often this will happen to you if they have Play-Doh or Silly Putty. Like when we went to replace my carpet, I moved one of the pieces of furniture, and literally attached to the carpet was a glob of silly putty. It was under the... you saw that, right? Yeah. Okay. What do you know? Okay. I'm sure I can get into books also. So I want to read some of the Mishnah Berurah because it's important to read. Bet. 1 second. Where's Bet? Bet is... I'm not looking at Bet. Gimel. I'm sorry. Hamochek dio. I'm just going to find where I want to read for a second. Okay. Here, let's look in the Mishnah Berurah. I'm going to explain. See where it says, see where the yud is? Okay, see the yud she'al haklaf? Go down, skip down two lines, and 2 lines into the yud, it says, v'ayin b'bir halakha. Okay, the way the Mishnah Berurah works, this is an interesting example of the Mishnah Berurah. The Shulchan Aruch is on the top. Okay, you'll notice, this is important to know. See the bold letters in the Shulchan Aruch at the top? Okay, the bold letters are the offering of the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was the Sephardi guy. Okay? The gloss of the Ramah is when it says Haggah in the smaller letters. That's the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Isserles, and that's Ashkenazic custom. Okay? Now, most commentators on the Shulchan Aruch lived after Rabbi Yosef Karo, but not so long after, 1700s, 1800s. And if you look in the big Shulchan Aruch, you'll see a ton of commentators in the, you know, those really big books that look like the big Gemaras. Okay, you'll see Shulchan Aruch, you'll see commentators on the Shulchan Aruch. This happened over time, and the problem was the books were so big, people didn't know what to do. Along came a man named the Chafetz Chaim, who I hope you've all heard of. And the Chafetz Chaim said, at least for the section that affects people most, which is the section called Orech Chaim. That's one of the four pillars, one of the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch. I have to write my commentary. Okay, like all commentaries, though, there's always more to write. So in his commentary, he wrote the commentary called the Mishnah Berurah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you also see, sometimes, on the side, there's something called the Bir Halacha. And the Bir Halacha, he writes all these essays which are more in-depth. So here, you see where it says, V'ayin B'Bir Halacha, about two lines under Yud. So he says, V'ayin, everybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody not see it? It's important to see it. V'ayin B'Bir Halacha. So he says, look in my essay in the footnotes, which is the Bir Halacha. Should be Arnu, I explained, the Hamachaber Mairi Shalob Makam Otiot. The Machaber, Rabbi Yosef Kara, the author, was only talking where there are no letters. Umoche Kede Lichto B'Makam Zeh. And I'm erasing the ink in order to write. The Ayin B'Bach, look in the Bach. The Bach is a commentator on the tour. The Hu Hadin, the Bach writes, the same is true. Yes, the Hizahir, you should be careful. Shenofel Dio Al Ha'otiot. Let's say, for example, ink falls on the letters. Oshen Natav Shava, or wax dripped. Don't erase that dripping. Because through your erasing, minkar ha'otiot, then your the letters become recognizable. That's exactly what I just told you in the Mishnah Berurah. Don't, if the letters, if you have a dripping on the letters, if I've got chocolate on the letters, or wine, or some dough, or God knows what on the letters, don't scratch it off. And sometimes, yeah, you have noted, I used to have, you know, in shuls, you'll open up to Aleinu, mm-hmm. right? And or Adon Olam. What are you going to find on the sitter at Adon Olam? Lipstick, right? So, you know, I don't know why, somehow, but somehow lipstick gets on the sitter at Adon Olam.
Hmm.
Right? So some ladies like to leave their calling card, I guess. I don't know. So don't scratch that off. It happens sometimes. Nobody ever noticed that?
No. I did. I was just thinking about that. Like, I mean, if you're not.
Right.
Thinking of my parents, though, there's lipstick on every.
Yeah. I'm glad they kissed the sitter, you know.
Right. What? I was just thinking.
Yeah.
I don't
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Lipstick is better. You don't see it that much.
Oh, lipstick. Is it an advancement in lipstick, or when less women are wearing lipstick on Travis? At least they're, you know, when you're flying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay. So you should be careful about that. Guys, no, not nowadays. Okay. Okay. Let's skip down. Two letters. Okay. Let's look at the Ramah now. The Ramah has something very interesting. Haggah. And this is where all this cake stuff comes in. Haggah. See the Ramah in the top, now we're in the source number 3, in the top again, the Haggah, the smaller letters in source number 3. You see where I am, Mil? Haggah. Asur l'shaber uga, shekasav aleha kimin osios. Okay? You're not allowed to break up a cake that has letters on it. Afal pi she'eino mechavein rak l'achila, even though you don't have the intention, you only intend to eat it, nonetheless, the habe mochik. That's erasing. So here I have my Y-I-O-P cake. Says the Ramah, it seems pretty clear. This is Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch, right? You're not allowed to cut up the cake in order to serve the cake. If it says Y-I-O-P or Happy Birthday or Happy Purim, you're not allowed to do that, even though you're only intending to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Ramah said. Okay? Why did he say it? That's what he felt. Does anybody want the Y-I-O-P brownie? No one? Okay. I can't give away cake anymore. I think I'm going to have to go healthy. Let's see. That's what Ramah said. But, as I told you very often, it's so interesting, very often what happens is that you look at the top, and then you have to look at the more, this doesn't really happen in Shulchan Aruch so often. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, it's a Habe Mochek. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
1 second. Asur l'shaber, Yudalid. Yudalid. Asur l'shaber, you're not allowed to break it. So you're Yudalid, about halfway down the second column. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Umutar l'tnol l'tinok." First thing you have to do is give it to a kid. Okay? Tetvav.
Tetvav.
Shekatav aleha. He says, "Vidavka shekotvin al ha'ugot otiot midavar acher." This is specifically where you take something else and write Happy Purim on the cookie. It's made of a different material. He says, "Aval, but kishahaktiva hi mehauga atzma." When the writing is in the cookie itself or the cake, Bidfus in a print obiyadayim shari, then it's permitted. Why? Ge'en shem ketiva aleha. That's not considered writing. So see the difference between these two cookies. I've got a Zeman's cookie that says Happy Purim, and I have an Oreo cookie. So the first thing the Mishnah Berurah says is, hold on. The Zeman's cookie is writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's writing. The Oreo cookie is, see the difference? It's stamped in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's not writing. That's not considered writing, and you can go ahead and chomp away at an Oreo cookie without a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Without any problem whatsoever. So we've already solved our Oreo problems. Go ahead and eat your Oreo cookies. I'm sorry.
Shoving, what? As long as you're not patient.
Yes.
You want to eat it, he says to break it up. You shabir.
Oh, let's see. Okay. One second. Okay. One second. Tetzayin, kimin otiot. He says, v'yesh machmirin afilu b'tziurin. Some people even machmir for pictures. Okay. Oh, food. Dehave mochet. Okay, that's erasing. Yeah, I'm in Yud Zayin, thank you. V'afde enu amanat lichtov. You're not trying to write anymore. Ishura derabana mihu ika. There's an issa derabana. There's a rabbinic prohibition. Hold on. V'afde enu mechavin nimchok. Even if you're not intending to erase, Sik Reishehu V'aser. Everybody remember that term? It comes up in Hilchos Shabbos all the time. Sik Reishe. Remember the term Sik Reishe? Remember the example of if I cut off the head of the chicken but I don't want it to die? Okay? So you can't say you're doing that, right? So you're saying, I don't want to erase my head. I just want to eat, you know, my head. Can you say that?
No.
Because no matter what you do, if you eat my head, you're going to erase me too. You have no idea what's going on in the tape. I'm sorry. I can't help you. Okay. Okay. Here now, here the Mishnah Berurah comes along and says, the ayin. See the second one on the line, it says a little dalet there. The ayin b'sefer dago mirvava. Look in the book called the dago mirvava. Shemetzadei lahakel b'ikar hadin hazeh. He says, he's really lenient about this whole thing. He says, the Ramai does not agree. V'heviyo b'sharei tshuva. And it's brought in the sharei tshuva. V'yesh b'smoch alav k'shteinu shober b'makom ha'otiyot b'yado. Rak b'piv derech achila. He says, okay, the Rama says you're not allowed to do it. But the Dago Mirvava, who's a well-known posek, he said, this is not erasing, give me a break, it's, you're eating it, it's nothing, it's not a problem. So the Mishabura says, when it comes to actually breaking it up, you shouldn't do that. But when it comes to eating it, if you're going to eat it, if you're going to eat this cookie, derech achila, permit it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
No.
If you're just going to bite into it, he says, don't worry about it. Because then it's not derech, it's not the normal way of erasing, it's not a problem. If you're going to now cut up this cake, though, if you're going to cut into it, then you shouldn't cut into the lettuce. And we're going to see how you do it. Okay? So let's skip down. One second.
The cookie, can you break the cookie in half?
So
you can eat it.
What? The cookie, you can...
Shouldn't.
What?
Could you break it in half?
No, I think you should eat it.
You have to eat it.
Or I'll give you another... Take a bite at it. I'll give you... Right, you don't have to eat the whole thing. Let's go to the second page. Okay? Let's see how the Shmir Shabbos Paskin. The Shmir Shabbos is Rabbi Neubert. Okay? The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is a well-known, accepted halakhic book. So he says... Okay? I'm following. Divrei ma'aseh, okay, baked items, shechiyuru aleihem otiyot otiyurim kishalahem, that they colored on them letters for pictures. Nimrach, from nimrach, I think is icing, my jeans on here. Kosehu, or ayudei shidur shel chatichat peirot, or let's say, for example, you took fruit and you ordered it to make a word. O sukariok tano, you took little chocolate bits, right? And we've seen that all the time. You made letters out of them. Zu al yad zu, one to the next to the X the other. V'chein kiyote, is there anything like this? Mutar le'ochlan. You are allowed to eat it. Af al pisha ayudei achilato. So you can eat my lollipop. Seems like you could eat it. Okay, you're allowed to eat my head on Shabbos. But asur lachtoch et haotiyot o et hatziurim. But you can't cut it. So now you say, what's the difference between eating and cutting it? So I just explained it to you. What you have is you have a machlokes of the poskim. The Rama says you're not allowed to do it. The Dago Mirvava says you are allowed to do it. So therefore, it's better to be no egg, one should be careful, and we only eat the, and follow the position of the Mishnah Berurah and compromise. To cut it, one shouldn't do. But to eat it, you're allowed to do. Okay. Chatach mi ba'od yom et divrei ha'ma'afa. What if you cut it before Shabbos? Then mutar lohochi for Shabbos Shabbat. Then you could take pieces out on Shabbos. Gam imi parek ayadeze ot slema ot siyur felens. If you cut it, or beforehand, or you break it before Shabbos, then you can take it out no matter what. So a good solution, solution number one for your cake problem would be slice it before Shabbos.
And then you can...
No, leave it. Slice it before Shabbos and leave it the way it is. Yeah.
So if you cut the line like the letter, so they're not letters, like recognizable letters anymore.
Yeah.
Then it's okay to cut.
Well, we're going to see in the number of the good ways to cut it. So the first thing you can do is just cut it before Shabbos. Right, so then you already separated them, and you're just taking them out one by one. That's fine. That's not a problem at all. Okay, so let's look at some applications of prohibition from the Shabbos Shalom by Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen. Okay, this is the Art Scroll book. As stated above, it is prohibited biblically to erase a blot of ink for the purpose of writing in its place. It is similarly forbidden to remove a blob of wax, glue, dried food, or other adhesive substance from the surface for the purpose of writing in its place. Removing the adhesive substance is tantamount to erasing because it prepares the surface for writing. Furthermore, it is forbidden to remove from their page an adhesive substance that is obscuring printed words or figures and to expose the print. This too is tantamount to erasing for the sake of writing, like we've learned. So this, I'm just showing you in the English book. I like showing you where do we start from. We started from the Gemara, we saw it in the Rambam, and we saw it in the Mishnah Berurah, and I finally see it in the English book that he didn't make it up. It's brought down all the way through the halachic literature. Removing from an adhesive substance from a writing surface upon which nothing was written and nothing is intended to be written is not considered a form of erasing. Nevertheless, depending on the texture of the surface of the method and the removal, this may fall in the prohibition of laundering, as explained above, like you said. Right? Some things you're not allowed to do for laundering. But let's say, for example, you come across a sitter and there's a piece of they're stuck together somehow and you can see it's not where the writing is. Can you separate it?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
As long as there's no
letters. Yes, as long as there are no letters, you can tell. But if it's not, if it is where the writing is, you're not allowed to separate it. This I wasn't aware of also. I was always aware that there's a problem separating pages. Mm-hmm. But it's only where the writing is. Period pages apart. Oh, here he says it. If two pages of a book became attached by an adhesive substance that fell between them, food, glue, etc., and the substance obscures the printed area, peeling the page apart is tantamount to erasing the adhesive from the area it had obscured. Furthermore, if the adhesive does not obscure any print, but by peeling apart the pages of paper will tear and some print will be destroyed, the peeling is also tantamount to erasing. So you can't tear, you can't remove print, but if it's on the non-printed pages, go ahead. Okay, cutting decorative figures in cake. As stated previously, destroying a letter or picture, even for no beneficial reason, is prohibited rabbinically. Thus, if a cake is decorated with frosting in the form of words, letters, or any distinct object, it is forbidden to cut a cake in a way that deforms the letters or ruins the picture. Okay, remember we said, deforms the letters, because erasing a letter is the problem. So here, on my YIOP, right, the way I'd be forbidden to do this is, right, that I was going to deform the letters. I wanted to cut, so I'm going to cut myself a piece like this. Right, now, what am I left with? I'm left with
IOP.
Okay? Now, obviously, this is a small example, but you see, that's the problem. That could be a problem. I'm obscuring a letter. I'm ruining a letter. Mm-hmm. Now I have my YIOP back. Okay. For example, if a cake has happy birthday written on it, it is forbidden to cut through the letters. It is also forbidden to peel the letters off the cake. Peel them separately. Well, that's a... If you can peel, that's not 100% true, because if you can peel the letters, where's my knife? Is that even there?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes what you can do is, I can go under it.
Actually,
this is
number six.
What?
It says
number six. Oh, he says that? Yeah, so it's not clear right now. See what I just did?
Yeah.
Right, if you take the icing off with it, that's not a problem at all. Did I destroy any letters?
No.
Right. It's really a good thing I'm on a no-sugar diet, otherwise I'd be so sick. What's nice? Enjoy. What?
Yeah,
Aviva.
Yeah, I want to look at the situation.
Oh, so very good. The pill is on the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent example. So sometimes if the pill is embedded in the... sometimes the words are engraved in, that for sure is not a problem. Also, so we just learned that if it's to eat it, if it's through eating, then you certainly don't have a problem at all, and you could take the pill. What? Well, right, I guess that would be a good point, because, remember we talked about under what circumstance could you take the pill. So I guess if you could take the pill, then the writing wouldn't be an issue either. So that's a very good point. Okay,
Okay, remember, a few months ago, I got this stencil that had happy birthday in it, and you can put sprinkles, you can pour sprinkles onto the cake, and it forms the word happy birthday. Now, to me, sprinkles isn't the same thing as frosting, because sprinkles are individual pieces. And the same thing with chocolate chip, let's say you make a word out of chocolate chip.
Right.
They're individual chocolate chips, and they happen to form a word.
No, but that's exactly what the Smear Shadow says. If you form a letter, as long as they're, you know, even though they're individual pieces, nonetheless, how do you write? What's writing? So if I were to take, you know, if I were to look at this, right, this page, and I magnified it enough, what would I find?
They're dots.
It's not connected microscopically. So, you know, so you have to, as long as it forms a letter that people can see, that has a dent of a letter, you couldn't erase that letter. So let's go on page 3. Mm-hmm. It is permitted to cut between the letters. Problem solved.
Yay.
Usually.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You can cut between the letters.
What?
Even if it's script. Rabbi Ribbit writes, even if it's script,
really?
Yeah, you can still cut between the letters. Because what's the difference? The whole point is we're not worried about separating words, right? So what's the difference if they're connected to each other or they're not connected to each other? If the letters were cut before Shabbos, but the pieces were cake were left in place, it is permitted to separate the pieces on Shabbos. Great. 3, it is permitted to bite into the piece of cake that has a complete letter on it, even though the letter will thereby be destroyed. Okay, this we already saw. It is permitted to cut decorations that are not of meaningful shapes. You know, like, I would say, by the way, I don't know, a rose, like sometimes they make a rose or a decoration. If it's a real flower, you have to eat the whole flower. Oh, darn. Right, but if it's just, one of those side decorations, not a problem. It is permitted to cut figures that are baked into the fiber of the cake itself. And permitted to cut a cake or a cookie that has a meaningful shape, i.e. gingerbread man, animal crackers, you know what I'm saying? So that we learned also. And 6, it is permitted to remove a letter along with a thin sliver of cake or frosting on which it rests. So now people are going crazy about birthday cakes. Are we allowed to have it? Are we not allowed to have it? So the answer is, you certainly are allowed to have it. If somebody gives it to you, the best thing to do would be to cut it before Shabbos. If you didn't cut it before Shabbos, cut in between the letters. I have a difficult time imagining that you could find a cake where it would be impossible to cut in between the letters. Can you?
No, but there's actually a different idea that people do. You can order a cake with a piece of chocolate with the lettering on the chocolate.
Right. Correct.
Put it on top of it.
Right. So now we just learned that that's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's not necessary at all.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
If you don't take a piece of chocolate...
Excuse me one second. Which comes from a chumrah, from a lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? It's not an usher. It's not usher at all.
Right.
It's mutter. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing to do, but, you know, once you know the halacha, then you realize, then they're going to come to your house and think that it's not true. But that's okay, because you know the halacha.
I'll chuck that.
Right, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'll chuck that, because when we get sometimes the logs, sometimes they forget to put it on cardboard.
Right.
And you can't cut between the letters.
You can cut between the letters.
Chuck won't let us.
Now that I have to tell you honestly, this is a learning experience for me also. I was aware that there was an issue. But you know, you don't know in depth every issue, right? So I also said, better not to. So now you know that it's permitted to cut in between the letters. But you have to be careful, because you're playing with fire.
You have to know who's cutting. You have to make sure the person
knows. Right. Right. Now, I would say, by the way, bottom line is, even after all of this, you can still rely on the busy Eved, if somebody did it already, you have the opinion of the Dagel Mirvava that we learned, who says it's totally mutter. You know, it's interesting. Look at page 1 again. I brought you the Shari Tube at the bottom. Okay? Kimin Otiot. The very bottom of page 1. Ayin Beher Te'eh. Dave, look up in the Beher Te'eh. The Ayin Bedago Mirvaba. Shekatav Heter Gamorhu. How does he write it? He says, it's not forbidden at all. Okay, so remember, especially in rabbinic sources, so the Ramah says it's forbidden, and you should be careful for the Ramah. But if somebody did it already, or somebody's doing it, you're not supposed to go, screaming at them, no, you're violating the Shabbos, because there is an opinion quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, brought down specifically, you know, if the Mishnah Berurah thought he was wrong, what would he do? Mark's shaking his head. What would he do? He wouldn't quote it. That's correct. So the fact that he's quoting it is so extensively, he not only quotes it once in his own commentary, he's quoting it, you know, it's also quoting the Shari Tshuva. Well, he's not quoting this one. Bahach de Maharam, she says, what was the Ramah talking about? Hach to Maharam, Moreno Harav, Rav Moshe, right? Rav Moshe Israelis. Maybe he was talking Shenasa b'Chavana sheyochlu hatinokot b'segula. What would they do? Apparently, the custom in his times was they would write on it "strong kid" or "happy birthday," and then the kid would specifically have to eat those letters. So that the eating would be a segula, would be a, how do you translate segula?
Segula.
A segula, you know what a segula is?
Part
a segula is a merit. It's like a sign, a symbol, right? So that the kid will be strong. So the Rama felt, in that case, that was what he was writing about. So then the eating of the letters itself was an act of erasing for constructive purposes. And that's why they felt the Rama was so strict. Then he only left for children. But I'm telling you, the Radag of my Rabbah writes, Mutar af legedolim. It's formidable even for adults. Listen how he writes it, very interesting. Machmir, you want to be machmir? Great. Yachmir al achmo. Be machmir for yourself. But don't be machmir for other people. And that's not the way we do it today. Today I'm machmir more for other people than I am for myself. You can't do it. Me? You know, what can I tell you? You know, so especially with this, this is like one of those things, I guess, that's very popular, the whole cake writing thing. You know, so when you look in the sources and you know what the real, what the sources are, you see, A, how vociferous the Dadol Merubava was, and you think the Rama wasn't even talking about our cakes. So if somebody's doing it, you know, don't go crazy, and it's better, you know, and you can cut between the letters, and if you have to, you know, then you can cut under the letters, and, you know, if you want to, then you can put the cardboard thing down, but it certainly isn't necessary or required. A little knowledge sometimes going along goes a long way. I want to show you one more thing, very interesting. Okay. Look back on page one again. About seven lines from the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, the second column, it says the word v'sefer. Okay? Page one. See where it says v'sefer? Very interesting case.
Yeah.
V'sefer, a book, shekatuv alav b'rashe chudei dapar, that's written on the edges of its pages, otiot or tevot, letters or words, yesh ozrim lepatcho ulena'alo b'shabbat. Some people forbid opening such a book on Shabbos. Why? De'ayidei ha'pticha shover ha'otiot v'havei kemochek. Because through opening it, you're breaking letters. What am I talking about? Southfield Public Library. Okay? So some rabbis wrote that if I do this, what do I now have? I have broken letters. Interesting. Like, so at first glance, you think to yourself, come on. I mean, give me a break.
But you see all the time with Siddharth.
What?
Yeah,
not a good idea.
No.
And not recommended for Schultz to do that. Right. That, I wouldn't recommend doing that if you're a Schultz. You know, Southfield Public Library, okay, fine. Right? It's interesting. Rabbi Riviat writes, he says in his book, he says, one should not deface public library books. You know, because apparently what people would do is if they would get a library book, they would just take a marker and mark it over so that they don't have a problem on Shabbos. But there's another halachic problem which comes up, which is what?
Right.
What? Yes. No, not on Shabbos. Oh. Before Shabbos, they would take a marker and mark it over. Yes. There's another halachic problem. What's the problem? Defacing public property and Chilul Hashem. Yes. Oh, you know, so it's great. I'm going to be very careful about my own Shabbos thing. But when the Jews bring back their books, they all have, you know, writing on them. Great. That really solves a lot of problems. It's wonderful. You know, so he writes, Rabbi Riviat writes, don't do that. That's not nice. Let's look. So he says, the chenk is another question. Aval dat harama b'tshuva. But the Rama, who's so careful about cakes, he says, in the response of lahakel bazef, he doesn't think it's a problem. The chenk dat harbe achronim. Many achronim say the same thing. The talmam, the reason is, the kevan da'ashu ilin ol ulif toach tamid, it's made to be opened and closed. Leka bishum ba mishum mechika uktiva. It's not a problem of erasing or writing. It's like a door, you're opening and closing a door, like always, the angle mishum binyan mishtir, you're not building or closing things, so this is the same. V'chein ha-minhag, and that's the minhag. He says, but, u'mikol makom, nachom ha-chmir, kishi yesh lo sefer acher. So if you see two sidurim in front of you, and one of them has the writing, one of them doesn't, it's better to take the one that doesn't. But if you have a library book or any other book, it's certainly, rather, Ramah is mekel, and certainly you have many people to rely on. By the way, instead of writing on the book, what's a good solution?
No, one.
Now, do I have it? I don't have that. The letters are already broken.
Huh.
right? That's the easiest solution, you know. What? But what happens if your book is over here, your mark is over there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you want to be machmir, I would say this. If you want to be machmir, that's a laudable thing. If that's the level of Shmir Shabbos that you're at, if not, you certainly can rely on the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah. You don't have to. And understand that that's another issue as well. Sometimes, actually, things come up with fruit. Sometimes they'll write the price on a price of a fruit, maybe?
No, sticker.
Well, the sticker, we learned you could pull off before on Shabbos. But sometimes, before you eat it. Sometimes on fruits, do they write stuff on
something?
Right.
Like
right. Sometimes, so you have to be careful about that. But I think there are other times you have to be aware of. Somebody asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein a question. He had a paroches. The letters of the letters on the parochus were written across the parochus in such a way. Parochus is a thing in front of the Aron Kodesh.
Okay.
In such a way that the parochus, the curtain, right?
Yeah, I understand.
It was a double curtain.
Yeah.
And when you opened it, there was a letter in the middle that split.
Oh,
So he wanted to know. They asked Rav Moshe, "Could I do that on Shabbos?"
Oh. It tends to go apart.
Right. So Rav Moshe wrote, "It's not a good idea." But if you did it already that way, then you're allowed to open it and close it, but it's best not to close it all the way. But Moshe also writes, interestingly enough, says it's halachically when you build an Aron Kodesh, the best thing to do is have a single curtain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You notice our new one, mm-hmm. right? I made sure I told Shippy before she orders it, make sure that it's not a splitter, mm-hmm. make sure it's a single curtain for mm-hmm. that's one reason. And the other reason also is the parochet we have is supposed to mimic the parochet, the curtain in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. And it wasn't a splitting curtain; it was a single curtain. And the reason, so we try to get it as close as possible. And that's the reason why we have our curtain in the Aron Kodesh as well. And that parochet is actually a halachically significant piece of material, and that's why we have it in the Beis Hamikdash. It's interesting; people complain that our doors are always open.
Mm-hmm.
So how come you don't have doors behind? They didn't have doors in the Mishkan; they just had the curtain. Mm-hmm. So the curtain is really all that you need. Okay, so I hope you have pretty much explained writing. Remember, so just for a recap, Oreos. You're totally safe if it's in here. These things, right? Any package, you have to be very careful. These people are not very careful about, right? You open Oreos, right? So your nature is to open it a little bit. Oh, I just erased the letter. You have to be careful. It really is a serious thing when you're opening packages or things of that nature not to rip the writing, because I don't really see how you can get out of a Rabbanon. It's a Drabbanon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see how you get out of that. I just don't. I don't see any way out of that. If you break writing, if you destroy writing, that's destroying writing. So you have to be really careful.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to do that. Cake, should we learn now? Go ahead. Have a happy birthday on it. It's not a problem. Just don't cut on the letters. People should be aware of it. And I would even say, if you do it, maybe point out to your guests. All right, learn in the Shulchan Shabbos class that it's okay as long as I cut between the letters. Right. You can give it out. You can have a little shear. Right? Okay? And there are other things as well. Cutting food wrappers or stickers. He says all of them are over here. Cutting open a food wrapper, it is forbidden to destroy any letters or pictures on the wrapper. There's no, I don't see an easy way around that. There's no hector that I'm aware of. Washing ink from the body. This comes up, let's say you go to Cedar Point. Right? So they stamp you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can see it. It's visible. So to scrape that off on Shabbos, scrub it off, you're not supposed to do either. You can wash, but you're not allowed to scrub it out as well. And opening a venture they have also. If the pain of the venture is stacked together with food that obscures some of the prints, you can't peel them apart on Shabbos. Okay, this is pretty much all there is to say about mochek, about erasing. And next week we'll move on to something else. I'm going to do a short one because I think the last 2 weeks, we have three more weeks of this session of the Beit Midrash. Next week I'll do Shabbos. The last 2 weeks, I think I'm going to talk about kashering on Pesach.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be good. And we'll discuss different types of things that can be kashered and different ways of kashering and how one kashers different things in order to, A, teach myself, because Pesach is coming up and the questions come. And B, it's just really hands-on as Pesach comes a little bit closer. Okay? Everybody should have a really good week.
Isn't this okay?